something about your enemy, half the battle's already won. And the only place we can find out about the wiles and the tactics of our enemy, the adversary, is through God's Word. And here in Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the captain of our salvation, would Himself voluntarily submit Himself to the temptations of the devil, that we might know more not only of how to overcome the adversary, but that we also might be made known more aware of his tactics. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning before we get into how we can overcome him. I want to kind of take the time this morning and look at a few of the devil's tactics in this first temptation in hopes that God would show us how we can be better equipped to withstand him or stand fast in the faith against him. And so I covet your prayers as well as your attention this morning. I really want to help you this morning. Our adversary is gaining too much ground in the church and amongst Christians today. We need to know more about his tactics and how he goes about tempting us so that we might be better equipped to withstand him in the faith. And so that's what we'll be concentrating on a little bit this morning and the next few temptations over the week, next week or two. They'll go a little bit quicker. But I want to begin this morning here in Matthew chapter 4. In verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Let us pray. Father, again we ask thy blessing upon thy precious word, Spirit of God. Help me in all my infirmities and weaknesses that I might be filled with your unction and your power. Open up the ears of thy children. How vitally important are these truths this morning. The adversary would have us be ignorant of his ways. God, we need you to help us this morning. Be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, it is generally accepted or acknowledged amongst the ranks of God's children today that there is a spiritual warfare raging about us. Ask anyone who professes to own the name of Christ, and almost everyone will say, yes, there is a spiritual warfare. And yet, one must, in many cases, ask himself, where are the signs of a spiritual warfare? Where do we see this warfare taking place? The lack of spiritual vigilance as well as watchfulness, coupled with a temper, that's a state of mind of indifference and apathy, prove that many believers today take this acknowledgement of a spiritual warfare far too lightly. Wesley wrote an old hymn, has great meaning to it. He says, "Hark how the watchmen cry, attend the trumpet sound. Stand to your arms, the foe is nigh, the powers of hell surround. Who bow to Christ's command, your arms and hearts prepare, the day of battle is at hand, go forth to glorious war." Beloved, that's a state of mind that many of our forefathers constantly kept vigilant, not only in their own lives, but in their prayer lives. When they went to prayer, it wasn't simply asking God to fulfill certain desires and pleasures and needs that they had, though that was involved oftentimes in it. A lot of times, their vigilance and their preparedness or preparation for warfare was also in their prayers. And as they would pray, they would be constantly be reminding themselves of the spiritual warfare of which they were involved, knowing that prayer had much to do with them overcoming the tempter. And so there was this constant state of mind in their hearts, and I believe that was so because many of them paid a great sacrifice to serve Christ, either reaching out to evangelize or to live a godly life. They were constantly aware of the spiritual warfare going on. Maybe this generation is not so much aware of it because we're not very aggressive towards the gates of hell. Maybe it's because we're no threat to Satan. Maybe we've compromised or taken a false peace on in hopes that we can have peace and solemnity in our lives rather than warring a good warfare. There are many possibilities that we could probably examine, and probably all of them or many of them would be true. Yet you have to admit there is a lack of spiritual vigilance and watchfulness amongst God's people. And yet, beloved, that does not change the fact that the adversary is still amongst us and very active in everything that he's doing. He's very deceptive. That's why Paul called him an angel of light, and his ministers are angels of light. Because he deceives people. He deceives us in believing false things about himself and false things about God. His tactics are very, very deceptive. And he's a very intelligent individual. Do you know Satan is a very good theologian? Again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but he quotes Scripture here against the Son of God. If he's not afraid to quote Scripture against the Son of God, dearly beloved, he'll not blink an eye to quote it against us. He's very well educated in Scripture. And so we need to know his tactics. And there's, like I said, there's only one place that we can learn his tactics, and that's in the Word of God. And therefore, this morning, I want to kind of look at this first temptation, that we might follow the captain of our salvation as he leads us into battle, that we might learn something about our adversary. Notice, first of all, in this first of three temptations, how our adversary, in all his evil temptations, would seek to undermine and discredit our relationship with God. Vitally important. Mark that down. It is essential that we understand that. In all his evil temptations, he would seek to undermine and discredit our relationship with God. If thou be the Son of God. Beloved, if he gains ground here, he's got the battle won. All his temptations want us to undermine or discredit our relationship with God. If thou be the Son of God. And that's what he does here in the temptation against Christ. Though Christ was a hungered, and the temptation to turn stones into bread, very tempting for the flesh or physical need of the moment, and it was. Yet the adversary's main objective in every temptation is to undermine and destroy our faith in God and our relationship to Him. The Bible says, and we'll get there in a few minutes, but the Bible said that he was a hungered. And he uses this weakness to get in his temptation, to undermine, or at least to attempt to undermine and discredit his relationship with the Father. If you are the Son of God, and beloved, he uses the same temptation against us. Guard your hearts, dearly beloved. Keep, and I've said this constantly in this pulpit over the last year and a half, keep your relationship with Christ lively and fervent. Because I'm telling you, if we don't do that, we leave holes in the walls of our protection and the foxes get in, and before long, we find ourselves questioning our relationship with God. And if we find ourselves questioning our relationship with God, the tempter has a more easier course to tempt us in all his temptations. And that's his main goal in all his temptations. He wants to undermine and destroy our faith in God. God can't do what he's promised to do. God can't deliver like he's promised to deliver. Under this evil temptation, our first parents fell, you remember? Yea, hath God said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He seeks to undermine and destroy their faith in God, their relationship with God. From that very first temptation to this present day, Satan has not ceased in this main objective in all his evil temptations. For if he can deceive us in making us doubt God and our relationship to him, beloved, he's won the battle. Why do you think Satan puts so much emphasis on making men doubt their relationship with God? Why so many struggle with assurance of salvation? Am I saved? Am I a child of God? Do I truly belong to God? And that temptation is not only limited to those that are suffering under assurance of salvation or lack of assurance of salvation. Again, beloved, even those that are most strong in the faith, God will come in, or the Satan will come in and tend to undermine our faith in God and His relationship to us. If he can get us to have false thoughts against God, then we're going to behave incorrectly. We're going to act unbiblically. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about, just for illustration purposes. If I don't understand whether the trial I'm facing right now, if it's a trial of my faith, or if it's a trying of my faith or chastisement, I'm going to respond differently. Amen? If it's a trying of my faith, then praise God. James tells me, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. But yet, if I can't see if I believe it's a chastisement, then I'm thinking God's punishing me and not trying me, and I'm going to respond totally incorrect. God would have us have spiritual discernment about Him and His actions in our lives, His providential dealings in our lives. He would have us to know that. Well, Satan comes in very deceptively and tries to confuse us in all of those things. When God tries our faith, the adversary is quick to say, see there, God's chasing you for nothing. He's punishing you. You've done something wrong. Well, it might be a trying of my faith. It might not be a chastisement. So you see, for illustration purposes, Satan will tempt to turn everything around God's doing. There was a purpose in Jesus being hungered. There was a purpose in the Spirit leading Him out into the wilderness to be tempted. God had a purpose in that. And that purpose was to fulfill His divine will. And yet Satan would come in on the very first temptation and seek to undermine all that. If thou be the Son of God, if you really are the Son of God, and He enters in through that weakness of the flesh, that being hungered. He enters in through that to undermine. And that's exactly, and it's important that you understand that. This is exactly the objective in all His evil temptations, is that we might undermine and doubt God and what He's doing in our lives. Don't ever let that happen. We have to know that tactic. We have to understand that tactic. And therefore, it's important that we keep that relationship with Christ lively on a daily basis. Otherwise, we begin to undermine God and His promises. You're hungered. Why hasn't God fed you? Why don't you just turn these stones into bread? If you're the Son of God, if you truly belong to God and God is your Father and you're hungered, why don't you supply for yourself? Why don't you do so? He's undermining God. Beloved, don't we have to humbly confess that sometimes we find ourselves falling into this temptation and questioning God's actions in our lives, why He's doing what He's doing, and what's the purpose of it? Beloved, it is so important that we maintain that lively relationship with Christ, that we never come to a point, never fall to the temptation of undermining and doubting God and His promises. Knowing where we stand with God. Like Job said, though He slay me, yet shall I believe in Him. Yet shall I see Him. I looked to the right and I looked to the left and backwards and forwards. I could not find Him, but He knoweth the way that I take. Why did he have such an assurance? Because his relationship with God was solid. Now God's providential dealings was confusion and mystery to him. But he knew God. He knew the character and nature of God. And Satan would seek in all his temptations that we undermine that. That's why it's important that we get to know God. Last week in Holiday Hill, I was talking to some of the ladies about just exactly this, and I was talking about the attributes of God, and one of them spoke up and said, oh, that you'd come back and teach us more on these what you call them? Attributes of God, and so that we might learn more about who God is. And beloved, that's vitally essential for us. That our relationship with God be so solid that Satan cannot shake that firm foundation that we have. That our relationship with God is sure, that we too, like Job, could say, though he slay me, yet I'll trust in him. And after this flesh, worms have eaten this flesh, I shall see God. I know not the way that I take, but when He's finished with me. Peter says, Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Make that a solid foundation, dearly beloved. If you're wrestling from doubts to assurance, to doubts to insurance, beloved, make that solid. Make it sure. Make your calling and election sure. Use all the diligence God's given you. Make sure that your relationship with God is lively, actual, genuine. Because if you do, dearly beloved, it's going to be even harder for the adversary to get in. Because again, I want to remind you, if he can get us to undermine or doubt God and His promises, His nature and His character, you know what's going to happen? We're going to begin doubting His promises. And it's like a dominoes effect. And so that's why I say it's vitally important that we understand that first and foremost objective in Satan's temptations is that we might undermine God. Our first parents fell for that temptation. Yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? Did He really mean what He said? He knows. He knows that if you do this, you're going to be like God. He undermined God in their eyes. And they began to doubt Him and thought, God's withholding something from me. And that relationship began to take a shaking. And they took the fruit and ate. What was the first thing that happened and the result of that? God's walking through the garden. You hear the voice of God saying, where art thou? I mean, not like God lost Adam. He didn't. He was giving Adam a chance. And Adam said, what? I hid myself. You see, the relationship was destroyed. Beloved, this is so important. Because your temptations, as you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your temptations are going to grow oftentimes more severe. And you can't sit here this morning and say, well, that's solid. I'm not ever going to have to worry about that. You keep it solid. You keep it lively. Daily, you renew your faith in Christ. Daily, you renew that fellowship with the Almighty God, especially if you're seeking to serve God, because the adversary is looking, roaming about, looking and seeking means to have us undermine God and doubt Him and our relationship with Him. And without an assurance of faith in God and our relationship to Him, we open ourselves up to great and evil temptations. So don't ever forget that. Okay? The main objective in all His temptations is to undermine and bring us to doubt God and who He is. Be careful. Secondly, notice the nature of this first temptation. And it's twofold. And I won't be long on this, but secondly, notice the nature of this first temptation. And it's twofold. First of all, Satan often tempts us in accordance to our weaknesses. He was afterward a-hungered. Command that these stones be made bread. That's the first nature of it. He'll often tempt us in accordance to our weaknesses. Secondly, in those weaknesses, He would tempt us to doubt and call into question our Father's providential care. If thou be the Son of God and hungry, command that these stones be made of bread. Why isn't your Father taking care of you? Twofold. And I'll quickly look at both of them. First of all, and this is vitally important as well, Satan often tempts us in accordance with our weaknesses. Now follow me, because I need you to, again, think with me. Satan came to tempt Him after He was hungered. And what's the first temptation He makes? Temptation in accordance with His weakness. You're very hungry. 40 days and 40 nights is a long time to go without food. And He said, why don't you turn these rocks into bread? He's fit the temptation to meet the weakness. Beloved, do you know your weaknesses? If you don't, you're going to fall victim to Satan's temptations. We have to know our weaknesses. Amen? Again, we not only need to know the tactics of the adversary, but to win a war, you need to know the weaknesses of our own troops. Where are we the weakest? What do we have to strengthen? Where do we have to be more vigilant? Satan, beloved, knows our weaknesses and will often, if not always, fit his temptations to those same weaknesses we have. He's not ignorant of our weaknesses. Noah's drinking became Ham's downfall. I'm just a social drinker. Well, we know what leads from social, but we won't follow that trail. David's weakness for women would cost him dearly. And just a note on that, Satan is patient as well. David always had a weakness for women. Satan was willing to be patient enough to wait until David was at the right time, and that was alone on that roof at night when he should have been at war. And he was, see, idleness doesn't pay. Idle mind is the devil's workshop. You ever hear that? Don't be idle for the Lord. The devil loves idleness. But see, David had a weakness for women. And Satan patiently waited for the right moment, and bingo. Don't think, dearly beloved, because you have a weakness like that, that because at the moment you've got it under control, it's just kind of kept and held, withheld inside where no one can see it. The devil will give you an opportunity to take that temptation and make it actual, believe me. And some of the strongest saints of God have fallen under that. The devil knows our weaknesses, so we must know our weaknesses as well and be vigilant in guarding them. Peter's self-confidence would lead him into Satan's sifting. I'd never do that. You watch. I'd never do that, Lord. I'll die for you. Those are just a few, but the Bible is full of them. Beloved, know your weaknesses. Because the Satan, our adversary, will fit his temptations for that weakness. The psalmist said it best in his reference to dying and death and mortality, but still it applies principally to what we're talking about in Psalm 39:4. He said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You know why it's good for God sometimes to put us in severe trials? Not simply that our faith in God and His promises be strengthened, but we might learn to know ourselves. One problem many Christians have is they don't know themselves well enough. Therefore, they're cocky, and they're prideful, and they're boastful, and they're self-confident. And we must not be. Know yourself. Know your weaknesses. Don't excuse them. Don't condone them. Amen? Know your weaknesses and keep vigilant eye on them. If you know that you're prone to pride, then be careful when you're tempted to be prideful. If you know that you have a weaknesses for the opposite sex, you better be careful and avoid everything that puts you in temptation. If you have a weakness for alcohol, and I hope and pray as a Christian you don't, but if you do, you need to avoid it. Me personally, I fully abstain from alcohol. I want nothing to do with it. And I'm not going to follow that rabbit because many Christians want to justify a little social drink every once in a while. When I felt I was an alcoholic myself before I was saved. I dealt with alcoholics in Germany for 14 years. And the one thing you don't want to do as a Christian is set a beer in front of an alcoholic or a glass of wine. Don't be the devil's adversary or advocate, I mean. But anyway, that's another message. But know your weaknesses. And excuse them. But be vigilant. You know, to know oneself and to be acquainted with his own weaknesses and infirmities, beloved, that is to be well guarded against the fiery darts of Satan's evil temptations. I'm telling you, you can avoid a lot of his fiery darts if you know yourself. And sometimes God puts us in trials and temptations so that we might learn our weaknesses, so that we might be more vigilant in keeping ourselves. You know, to successfully keep one's heart with all diligence, according to Proverbs chapter 4, one must also be acquainted in some measure with his own weaknesses. How can I keep my heart with all diligence if I don't know in some measure some of its weaknesses? True, it's just desperately wicked. Who can know it? Except God, but in some measure I need to know my weaknesses. Amen? Our Lord said in Deuteronomy 8, He said, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Why did He do that? To humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart. So sometimes, if not oftentimes, in all our trying of our faith, when God puts us through fiery trials, it's not only to increase our faith and confidence in God and His promises, but it's also to show us something about ourselves. I'm weak here, God, and I need strength. I need to be more vigilant here. I need to be on my guard. The second nature of this first temptation. The first one is not only knowing our weaknesses. Know your weaknesses, beloved. But the second one in this temptation, or the second nature of this first temptation, is a temptation to doubt His Father's providential care and protection. And this is vitally important, and I'll be very quick. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. If you're really the Son of God, you're a hungered, you're hungering, and your Father's not providing for you. Therefore, you must intervene to do something because your Father's not doing it right. And how often do we fall for that temptation? Like I said, in every temptation of Satan, there is an evil attempt to cast doubt and discredit upon the very nature and character of God. Your Father doesn't care for you. No, my Father cares for me. Well, if He cares for you, why are you suffering? Doesn't He come often? Have you ever heard, so to say, that voice in your mind, in your heart, when you're suffering, and the voice kind of just pops up, and maybe not like a verbal voice like mine, but you get that thought that if God really loved you, why were you in this situation? Why did He allow this to happen? He must not be who He says He is. God will take care of you. But you can only believe that if you know who God is. Yea, hath God said, again, our first parents, ye shall not surely die, casting doubt and discredit on God's character. You're not going to die. God didn't mean that. You misinterpreted that. Did God really mean that when He said that? No, He didn't really mean that when He said, you see, He brings in discredit. That's why it's important. I think every Christian ought to give diligence to study the attributes of God. You say, what are the attributes of God? Well, sovereignty of God, holiness of God, justice of God, love of God, mercy of God. Pinks has got a small book on the attributes of God, and I don't mind telling anybody to read that. It's a wonderful devotional book. It'll acquaint you with the attributes of God. You need to get to know your God. Because if you don't, Satan will come in and discredit His very nature. And He can do that if we're not standing on that firm foundation. If we don't know who God is. Because by casting doubt and discredit upon the very nature and character of God, we then begin to question and disbelieve His promises. Because if we doubt His very nature and His character, well, then His promises are not sure. Amen? You see, salvation is not having simply a ticket to heaven and a ticket out of hell. This is eternal life, John 17, that they might know Thee. That's what it's all about. That's why, again, I say, in every temptation that Satan puts forth towards us, it's in some way to undermine and discredit the very nature of God in our hearts and our minds. Beloved, you've got to stay close to God. You've got to know God. You've got to grow in that grace and that knowledge. And it's amazing that exhortation in 2 Peter is given in a book where Peter says in these last days going to be false prophets and people's going to be falling away and heresy and all these things. What is the solution? What do we do, Peter? Do we look to prophecy? What do we do, Peter? Peter says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So grow in Him, dearly beloved. Grow in Him. Make sure that you know God in a lively manner. And that when somebody says something about God's very nature and character, Even if they say like the faithfulness of God or the holiness of God or the justice of God or the sovereignty of God or the mercy of God, immediately your mind begins to race through Scripture, establishing those truths, and my God is a solid God. Psalm 46 is evidence of that. Beloved, the divine promises in God's Word are only as good and believable as He who promises them. That's why this book is a closed book to the lost. They can read it, they can quote it, they can try to claim some of it, and they can even come to a pretty good understanding of it, but they'll never be able to experience and know the promises of it because they don't know the promiser. And these promises are only as good as He who promised them. And beloved, if you think your faith has been tried, we've got so much more to learn, and there's so many more trials, some of them more fiery than others. But beloved, I'm telling you, as long as we breathe, as long as we're in this present life, as long as the Lord has not chosen to return or take us home, our adversary will not stop in seeking to undermine in our hearts and our minds the very nature and character of God. And he'll do that through our weaknesses. So know your weaknesses and have faith and confidence that God is who He says He is. And never doubt His providential dealings in your life. Let me close with a thought from Job. Kind of puts it all in essence. Acquaint now thyself with him. Acquaintance is more than just minor fellowship. It's intimate. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. You see, beloved, that's why it's important here in Matthew chapter 4, but that we learn some of his tactics so that we might not be ignorant of his devices. Know his tactics. Never forget. Never forget, first of all, in all his evil temptations, Satan seeks to undermine and discredit the very nature of God. Okay? In our hearts and our minds. Second of all, he knows our weaknesses, so you know them. Strengthen them. Be vigilant over them. Amen? And thirdly, never question God's providential dealings in your life. No matter how severe it might be, He will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen? He performeth all things for me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Amen? As your days are, so shall your strength be. We're going to be looking at that next week because that's how we void them off. It's the promises of God. Amen? It's the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. But we wanted to look at some of His tactics first. The next two temptations will go a little bit quicker. Believe me, we won't be months on this, but we need to know something about our adversary. You need to know something about yourself. Amen? So that we might be able to apply and equip ourselves. May God give us grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its clarity. We thank You, Lord, for how it guides us and directs us. Truly, it is a light unto our path. And yet, at the same time, Father, it reveals the darkness of our adversary. Lord, it reveals, Lord, his tactics and his wiles. I pray that You'd make us wise, not in our own self or our own conceit, but, Lord, wise in the things of God. Help us, Lord God, that we would be the soldiers, Lord God, that are vigilant and watchful. May we never, Lord God, have confidence in the flesh, but may we ever learn more and more to be strong in the Lord, in the power of Your might. May we dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. May we be confident and secure that our God is a refuge, a very present help in time of need. Oh God, we pray that God, You draw us close to You this morning. And God, those this morning that know not God, know not Christ, Lord, all the promises of God are yea in Him and yea in Christ Jesus. And we pray, God, that You'd open up their hearts, that they might truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving manner. Father, guide us now through this day. Bring us back tonight, we pray. Father, all these things in Christ's name. Amen.